hard times come in a variety of ways. And what we've been doing over the last 4 weeks is talking about hard times. Really, the perspective is this. You know, we get into a hard time and we have our idea of how to deal with it. What we've been doing is looking at what does God expect when we go through a hard time? And what does He want us to learn? How does He want us to approach it? You know, what does He have for us? And so really that's been the study for the last 4 weeks. And what we're going to do today, it's kind of an interesting little section. There's 3 points in my message, but actually they could be 3 separate messages. But I've decided to combine them all together. And the series, though, is entitled Smart Living. And this series, we have now been in for 4 weeks. What we're going to do is we're going to stop for 6 weeks, and we're going to start a series beginning next week in the Old Testament book of Jonah. We're going to start into that. We're going to be sharing with you some neat things we're going to be doing for the next 6 weeks. But for today, we're going to wrap up Smart Living. Today, the message is entitled Learning in Tough Times. Well, we've kind of approached everything else about the subject of tough times, but how do we actually turn our focus to learning something and to benefiting from it? We're going to be in James chapter 1, verses 19 through 27, and that begins on page 854 in your Bibles, the blue Bibles that are provided for you. And if you want to turn to that, we'll get there in just a couple of minutes. So let me talk to you about this for just a moment. We know we will face trials, and so what does God say? God says in the first 5 verses of James chapter 1, He says, I want you to rejoice when a trial comes, I want you to remain steadfast, and I want you to request wisdom. That was the first week. Rejoice, remain steadfast, and request wisdom. We looked at that. That's how God wants you to come to a trial in your life. We don't often do that. We don't have that attitude. We sometimes handle it very, very poorly, but that's God's idea. Then from verses 6 to 13, well, wait a minute. What if I don't do that? What if I don't request wisdom? What if I don't remain steadfast? Well, it's interesting. Beginning in verse 6 to verse 8, you will be, according to what the New Testament says, you will be unstable, you will be unanswered in your prayers, and you will be unsettled. The three U words, unstable, unanswered, and unsettled. So you don't want to follow God's plan? That is your choice. That is my choice. That's what will happen. Well, wait a minute. What if I do? Beginning in verse 9. It says in verse 9 through 12 that I will be rejoicing. If I do follow God's plan, I will be refined and I will be rewarded. The three R words that we looked at. Rejoicing, refined, and rewarded. And we looked at that section a couple weeks ago. Then last week, the only place I am really aware of in the Bible, there's other, I guess, other verses, but we talked about temptation. But wait a minute, if God does prepare trials for us, and we know that from verse 12, what about temptation? How does that work into it? Does God tempt us? And we looked at that, those verses 13 through 18, and we said, no. God does prepare trials for us, but He does not tempt us. Nothing in sin appeals to God. He has an amazing nature that it just doesn't appeal to Him. And so we talked about the purpose and point of temptation, that we choose to sin. We make that choice. God doesn't do that. He does not tempt us. And it's interesting how James works that all in to this study. Now, what he does then, I believe, in verses 19 through 27, is we're going to look today at, on your outline, how to learn from trials. How to learn from trials. So it's kind of like we've been, how do we get into trials? We understand that. And then we want to maintain the kind of attitude and the kind of spirit that God wants us to have. But wait a minute. What about learning from it? I mean, we can go through trial after trial after trial, and folks, you will get absolutely nothing out of it for the wrong attitude or wrong spirit. God wants to grow us through trials. That's just part of the Christian life. The idea that where it's all going to be peachy keen in the Christian life is not a biblical idea at all. That whole philosophy is not biblical. too much of the Bible is devoted to people going through difficult times and relying on God and trusting God and walking closer with Him. So what we're going to do now is, how do we learn from trials? And we're going to begin at verse 19. This is one of these favorite verses. I hope you wrote this verse down. A couple of weeks ago, you remember I said, you've got to have some life verses. You better have some life verses, things as we go through that just touch you. And verse 19 is one of those. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, which I believe is the key verse to the whole book of James. I think it's kind of an overview verse. We went through this the first Sunday we were together. But how to learn from trials, all right? So on your outline, what I'm going to give you, I think it's in a box there, is just a statement. Be swift to hear. The first thing I believe in helping us learn from trials is we need to be swift to hear. Is that like us? No. Not often. We want to be swift to speak. We want to tell everything. There's a time and a place to talk about a trial, absolutely. But it's interesting the order here. Be swift to hear. So what are we hearing? Okay. What are we hearing? What should we be swift to hear? Okay. Is that in this verse? No, it's not. But it's in verse 21. Drop down with me to verse 21. I don't want to leave. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept what? The word planted in you which can save you. And I believe they're tied together. Be swift to hear God's word first. And I think that's, there we go. Be swift to hear His word. That you take it in. You guys are right. It's just not in that verse. It's another couple of verses down. Be swift to hear His word when you're going through your time, your difficult time. Now, can you be swift to hear others after God's word? Sure. Absolutely. Here's what I think the benefit of going through trials are. People go through trials dealing with job and health, and just to name a couple of them. They go through those times, they learn from them. When you go through a similar trial, there is great benefit in a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, who has been through that experience and can say, here's how I handled it. And I didn't do so well at this point, but I did okay here. Absolutely. We can be swift to hear others, too. And in fact, when we become aware of people that have gone through difficult times, it's amazing to then hear their story of what God has done and what He has taught them. Yes, you can be swift to hear primarily God's word, but other people. It's a benefit of fellowship and discipleship in a time like this. All right, so be swift to hear. All right. Slow to speak. Slow. Yeah, we're not that way, though, are we? Absolutely not. We're not slow to speak. And so that's human nature, but I think the idea is that if we're swift to hear in God's word and get some direction there, and maybe God's people helping us, we might be a little slower to speak instead of just spewing it all out. Slow to speak. That's a really tough one, isn't it? This doesn't apply to trials. This applies to all of life. We don't get all the facts sometimes in the story. Sometimes we're not slow to speak then, are we? We jump in, we make, be slow to speak. Not only in trials, but in life in general. These are some great, great statements that I feel James benefits us in trials, yes, but also in life beyond that. All right? And then what does it say? Be slow to what? Wrath. Anger in the NIV. It could be a number of different words here. Slow to anger. Boy, sometimes we hear things. And sometimes we don't hear what we want to hear. And then we jump in and we have to correct everything. And then we don't correct everything. And we just go through the process of becoming what? Angry. Mad. upset. Be slow to wrath. Be slow to anger. Does it say don't ever be angry? No. There's a time and a place for anger. No. Be slow to anger or wrath, but you can be angry. Absolutely. You can be intense. You need to deal with it. You need to talk with the Lord about it. You need to talk with others and deal with it. Because if you don't, what happens? Look at verse 20. Verse 20. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So the anger doesn't... You go through the trial, and let's say the trial is trying to teach you something, but you become so angry that you overlook and you don't learn what God wants you to do. God wants you to be as a person. Verse 20 is tied right to verse 19. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. All right. Life verses. If you haven't written down that verse, James 1, 19, do it. Put it somewhere. I told you, where did I tell you I keep James 1, 19 in my office here at the church? You remember? That was 4 weeks ago, you know. It's in my top drawer, left-hand side. So when I open the drawer, the first thing I see is James 1, 19. Unless Cindy's piled all kinds of stuff in there for me to do. She would never do that. No, she doesn't do that. Anyway, but it's right there, James 1, 19. And, you know, I struggle with that, and I shared with you folks, I struggle with that at times. Anger, absolutely. But when we understand the perspective of what God wants to teach us, how to learn from trials, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. All right, now he's going to continue. Second little thought, I think connected with this, is how to hear God speak. All right, the first point was be quick to hear, right? Now, I think he drops down here and says, well, now how do we hear God speak? What do we have to do in our lives to do that, to benefit in the context here from the trial that we're going through? How to hear God speak. All right, now that picks up then again at verse 21. And let me read that verse. Therefore, get rid of all, interesting words, moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. All right, verse 21, how to hear God speak. What do you think that first phrase of 21a, therefore get rid of all moral filth and evil? In order to hear God speak, one of the things we have to do is, how about if I say it this way? Put away sin. Put away sin. Deal with sin. You want to hear God speak in your trial or any time at all. You've got to put away sin. And it's interesting, as this verse is just right there following, you know, in the flow of what's going on in this passage. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And the and there draws it together with the second statement. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Okay? So if the first thing is put away sin, what is the second part of 21, the second part of this verse? Yeah, receive the word. That was already up there. I was hearing you guys saying it, thinking, wow, they got it. John already had it up there. He's pretty quick up there. All right. Receive the word. It is critical. All right. Now, what he's going to do when he says, okay, receive the word, he's going to explain some more things now, beginning in verse 22, 23, 24, and 25. He's now just going to talk about it. All right. So put away sin. To receive the word means what? The idea here is to have a teachable spirit. Teachable spirit is the intent of receiving the word. So that when you come in here, you have a teachable spirit, not a hard heart, but a teachable spirit to receive what God wants you to know and what God wants you to learn. All right, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. What? Do what it says. Do what it says. Great. Oh, my goodness. This section is just so rich with meaning here. All right, so the third thing, how to hear God speak. Put away sin, receive the word. And the third one is do the word. Do what you hear. Do what you are to put away. As we understand God's word, we need to do it. And the big curse of every generation, unfortunately, of believers is that we are educated far beyond our obedience. Let me say that again. We are educated far beyond our obedience. We are educated way beyond our obedience. Amen? That is true, and we struggle with that. But we need to do the word. We need to follow what the word says. All right, so then he gives a little illustration here. Let's go 23 to 25. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror. All right, did any of you men do that this morning? Yes, we all did that, didn't we? Maybe even the ladies too. All right, looks at his face in the mirror and, verse 24, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So, you look at yourself and then you don't do anything, really. You forget what you look like. Verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law, God's word, that gives freedom and continues to do this, following God's law, the this is following his law, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be what? Blessed in what he does. He will be blessed in what he does. So he gives kind of a just a very nice analogy there of not only hearing God's word, but doing God's word. And again, this is a struggle that we face as believers. That what we know, the large amount of information that most believers have, we struggle to do it all. We pick and choose. You ever heard of selective obedience? How about selective hearing? Yes. We all know what selective hearing is. I guess men have been accused of selective hearing at times. Never women, but men. Oh, I never said that. Well, I told you that. Well, I don't remember that. Maybe it's selective hearing. The reality is, though, selective hearing may be with men. Selective obedience is with us as believers, all of us. We pick and we choose. The reality is God wants to see us do it all. And we will struggle to do it all, but we can do it all. And that's what God's highest is for us. All right, last little statement here. I think I have a box on the outline. It just goes hand in hand. I wanted to say this. Make sure you are in God's Word during your trial. I mean, you'd think that would be a given, but it's not. The tendency is to run. The tendency is to avoid God's Word, to avoid being close to Him during those difficult times. We get far from Him. You know, one of the things I've talked to you a little bit about is my prayer life. And I tell you that when I go and I run around Lake Point Park, I pray as I, you know, go round and round in circles. And I pray for different things and different people. Well, recently I've had a series of tests. They've all come out very good for me. I had a scan and some other things. They were looking for whatever they could find in my tonsils, in my kidneys. I mean, they were just looking all over the place. Just a fun experience I had for about 5 weeks. And I stopped running. And, you know, honestly, that time is very important for me because when I run, I force myself to pray and do that. And those 5 weeks, I find myself drifting from God because I don't spend that time in prayer. And somehow just that focus of spending time running and doing things like that, we tend to drift, and we all do. The important thing is, and the reason I share that is, I came back to running. I've been running now for a month or so, and it's just a great time for me in my habit of prayer to get back out there and run and to hopefully not get chased by dogs and all those things, especially the little ones. It's the little ones that'll get you. It's not the big ones. So anyway, the poodles. Yeah, there's no poodles out there. They're just big, huge dogs. You know, just amazing. Oh, goodness. I never should have told you about the poodle, should I? But I did. All right. Make sure you're in God's Word during your trial. The point being, you can drift. I drifted. I've come back. Hang in there. Spend time in God's Word. All right. Now we have one final little section here. To recognize the real thing is what I'm calling it. Recognize the real thing. And the real thing here I'm talking about is in your spiritual life, okay? Recognize the real thing in your spiritual life, I believe, is the context of this. All right, it's verse 26 and verse 27. And again, some pretty strong verses. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is what? Worthless. Wow. Recognize the real thing. There's evidently religion. What's the definition of religion in a general sense? Yeah, it's man's attempt to get to God would be religion. In a general sense, man's attempt to get to God. And so, which obviously, in getting to God, religion, going through the motions, doing things, is not going to get you to God. The way to have a relationship with God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And recognizing that we are sinners and that we are separated from Him and that we need a Savior, we need a bridge to get to God, and Jesus Christ was the perfect bridge for us to get to Him. That's a simple message of salvation. Faith in Christ, His death for us, plus nothing else saves us. Nothing else. Baptism doesn't, going to church doesn't, being a good person doesn't. Only in forgiving, only in asking for forgiveness of our sin. So we don't practice religion here. We try and practice what is called relationship with God. And we begin that relationship by trusting Him as our personal Savior, then going along in a relationship, a friendship with Him, day by day, week by week, year by year, decade by decade. And for some in this room, close to a century of walking with God. All right. It's interesting. All right, so here we go. What is the real thing? Recognize the real thing. It is not religion. Religion is not the real thing in your spiritual life to help you grow. It's going through the motions. Then it's very interesting with what he touches on here. Look at verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Interesting. Orphans and widows. That God places a high value on these people. And I hate to use that term, but it's just the best way to qualify it. It's not religion. In a general sense, yes, to look for orphans and for widows and to take care of them. But if you pull back from this and look at really the whole tenor of the New Testament, let me say it this way, and you fill it in, it is personal service to people, looking after them, taking care of them. The real thing. You can say whatever you want, but the real thing is not religion, it is personal service to people. And even, it's interesting, even in the context of going through a trial, it's personal service to people. So that everybody doesn't know that you're so consumed by this trial that everybody's trying to help you, but that you are helping others. You tie the whole thought together if you tie the whole passage together. And this is a rather interesting chapter in the Bible. And I have struggled with some of this, trying to tie it together. It's been a challenging study for me, but I believe that, you know, as we put this together as a church, and I've been able to teach you this, that hopefully I've challenged you with the way to handle a trial and the purpose of a trial. And that's been part of what we've done. All right. we have finished now in James for 6 weeks. What we're going to do is, beginning next week, I'm going to take you to Jonah, and we will do a couple things next week. I'm going to give you a little introduction, a little overview. Then we're going to give you books that you are going to keep, and you're going to keep for the next month. And within this book, we're going to explain how it works and what is going on. And then 2 weeks from now, I'm going to do a little message on one verse in the book of Jonah that Dr. Hal Seed, who is leading us through this study with his material, really doesn't touch on. I'm going to talk about Jonah's fish. Could that have ever really happened? Come on, can somebody be swallowed by a great fish? Has it ever happened before? So I'm going to do 2 weeks. Next week's kind of an overview, and then the following week I'm going to talk about that. Then, beginning in October, we will go chapter by chapter, 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 chapters, we'll go through that. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is we are then going to come back in November to James. Look with me at chapter 2. I'm going to give you 6 things to evaluate, beginning in James chapter 2 in your spiritual life. Number 1, are you prejudiced? That is James 2, 1 through 12. No, I'm not prejudiced. Are you? Are you not prejudiced? Then look at verses 14 through 26 of chapter 2, faith and works. What is the purpose of them? Are you actually doing good works? And if you're not, why aren't you doing that? Then look at chapter 3, one of our favorite topics. 3, 1 through what? 12. What's it dealing with? The tongue. So it's going to be an evaluation on that. Then we're going to go 3:13, you know, through the end of the chapter, 2 types of wisdom. What wisdom are you following? Then we're going to look at chapter 4, 1 through 10 is submission, and then 13 through 17 is planning. I'm going to give you 6 things to evaluate when we come back after this study in the book of James. 6 areas to evaluate in your Christian life as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. That's where we'll be going. That will take us up, if you can believe this, to Christmas. All the way to Christmas Sunday. By the way, have you started? George, have you started Christmas shopping yet? All right, it's never too early to do that. You know, have I? No, I have not. So, anyway, yeah, I can't believe that, though. We'll be at Christmas Sunday after we do Jonah and 6 more weeks. It'll be Christmas. It'll be here. Amen? All right. Thank you for hanging in there with me in James chapter 1. I think it's a fascinating study, an amazing study. And we will begin next week. If you want to read the Old Testament book of Jonah, you can do it for 4 simple chapters, but there's amazing things that God wants to teach us. And I'm very excited about going through this study and what we'll be doing. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for our time in James and just looking at how to hear you and better how to follow you. Lord, we don't want to practice religion. We want to practice a relationship with you, and we need work on that. Thank you for those that model a relationship with you. We rejoice and we praise you that you are God. And we thank you that you are in control. Thank you that in your wisdom you prepare trials for us. Thank you that you also give us a guideline, a map to follow during those times. Thank you that we can give now. And we do that gratefully because of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.